Hey everybody, and welcome back to another half-episode of Random Chatterings. I'm Arlil Rodriguez, and today is the beginning of a mini-series that we've been planning around here for a while at Random Chatterings HQ. Today we are starting the month of King of the Hill! So we will be going through 5 episodes of King of the Hill in the month of September, but I said we're... Notice that I said we're in these recordings because I am joined by a special guest.
Lorenz Kim.
Yo, how you doing, man?
Doing good, dude.
This is the first time we have talked since the last time we recorded together.
Well, I mean, we talked since then, man. Come on, we're like best buds here.
No, I know, okay? I know.
It's been 2 years since we recorded.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
A little bit. Like, it feels like it's just yesterday that, well, we were talking about, I guess, my passion for heavy metal.
That's right.
Yeah, and now, whoa.
Now we're doing King of the Hill.
Yeah. And heads up, there's going to be a lot of Texas accents involved in this one.
We're going to be very careful to not offend any Texans in the audience if there are any.
Yeah, but disclaimer for you.
But let's go ahead and start off with Season 1, Episode 7's West East Side Story, written by Jonathan Abel and Glenn Berger, and directed by Brian Sheasley.
I was on the outskirts of a little southern town, trying to reach my destination before the sun went down.
All right, I think before we start talking about this episode, because, I mean, for people who have never heard of King of the Hill, we should probably set up a lot of context. Maybe we should start off, like, loosening it up a little bit. Lorenz, when did you start watching the show?
Lord. So, I think, I mean, I definitely was aware of the show for a long time. I remember when it was on Fox. Like, I would, like, watch things like The Simpsons, and I think, like, King of the Hill would be, like, on before or after that. Yeah, it was, like, my go-to shows when I was a kid to watch on Fox were, like, Simpsons, King of the Hill occasionally.
Yeah.
And Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, yeah.
By far my favorite show on Fox, but I mean, that's not necessarily relevant, but
Maybe we'll do month of Malcolm in the Middle and down the line.
Dude, count me in.
All right.
I'm so in for
all. Yeah, no, that's so funny, because like for a while, and I don't know if anyone remembers this at all, but like at least in my local, in our local channel, it was Channel 11, the syndicated programs, what syndication is like if a show gets to 100 episodes, then there's like syndication. I don't know exactly how that works, but I think it's like it means that you can show the programs like in other channels, something like that. It's something to do with that. I probably should have looked that up before I even brought it up. But basically, it means that it would be the shows would air outside of the normal runtime or like normal like scheduled dates. So I think for a while it was like 5:30 would be King of the Hill. I think 5 to 5:30 in the afternoons, and then 6 would be Simpsons, and then 6:30 to 7 would be Malcolm in the Middle, and 7:30 again would be Simpsons, and then 8 o'clock would be like whatever.
Yeah, I remember they would like they would definitely show like Simpsons and Malcolm and King of the Hill before.
Yeah.
And like I sort of use those to like pass the time. I mean, I feel like I look forward to Simpsons a little bit more. I didn't really appreciate the humor as much in like King of the Hill as much when I was a kid. Versus when I do now, like right now, I adore that show.
No, it's there's something there's a side of subtlety that comes into King of the Hill that we'll be talking about throughout our month of King of the Hill. Things that we couldn't have appreciated when we were younger because, well, one, we just kind of it felt appealing just because it's a cartoon show. But then, it's like the episode I think that reminded me of how smart the show was. I think we're not talking about this episode, but what is it? It's not Bobby's Wedding. But it's the one where Bobby thinks he got Luann pregnant.
Yeah, that's a great one.
There's a lot of jokes there, which I never would have even gotten as a kid.
Awkward.
Coupled with some of the jokes in this episode and in the rest of the episodes we're going to be talking about.
Oh my god!
Just like humor that completely went above our heads, but also just kind of the subtlety in terms of the depiction of a Texas city town,
yeah,
small town kind of thing.
Like at suburb. First glance, like really, like yeah, it's like very like conservative town in like southern Texas. But at the same time, they do some crazy shit that you would not expect.
Yeah, no, the show goes in some really interesting directions. It's funny. I've been listening to a lot of Talking Simpsons, and they're doing a podcast called What a Cartoon, and they talked about Peggy's headache, And that episode is about how the neighborhood is trying to keep a secret about Nancy's affair with John Redcorn, which is some of the characters that we'll be talking about. Like, and then Peggy finally finds out, despite the fact that it's all... Lorenz's parents are out, so we can swear now, but maybe we should still keep it clean, just in case?
I mean, occasional swearing, not too much. We're like, back, fuckity, fuck, back, back.
All right, so it's very obvious that there's an affair going on, but for some reason, Peggy, despite her high opinion, having a high opinion of herself...
More importantly, does Dale ever even find out?
I don't think he does, but, like, I think some... You would think that if someone who's bugging... That's even funnier, too. Like, Dale is a kind of conspiracy theorist kind of person. Someone you would imagine might consume a lot of Alex Jones type of media.
Wow.
Back when that kind of shit was more laughable than it is now, as in we're actually afraid of that shit.
Yeah. I have a feeling like even Bobby was aware of, like, what was going on. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. He did. Well, there was one episode where he commented on it, but I think they kind of backed off that a little bit. But, yeah, no, Dale never figures out about the affair, which,
like,
is funny.
There was one time when, like, his wife Nancy and John Redcorn were, like, literally in bed together, and he walks in.
It's not that he walks in, he sees someone in the shadows, and he takes John Redcorn with a lamp, and says, "Oh, John Redcorn, I mean it." And I think it was the episode when they were... When I think they were going to break up. Like, Nancy and John Redcorn were going to break up, and then the affair, because...
That's when they ended it. Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. And John Redcorn was dropping off flowers.
Yeah.
But, okay, we're getting a little too far into other episodes. So let's start off with West Side Story. It's an episode that is very, especially in today's very complicated times, even more...
Relevant?
Relevant, thank you. More relevant than it ever was before. The episode starts with the guys, Hank Hill, Dale Gribble, Bill Daughtry, or William Fontaine de la Tour Daughtry, if we want to go specific, and then Boomhauer.
Boomhauer?
pretty much just the typical exposition of, like, those four buddies out in front of their houses, drinking beer and going like, Yup.
So the episode starts with the guys, like, on mowers, I think, and they're watching a family, they're watching some movers. Technically, when you watch this episode the first time, you think, oh, it's another family moving in. It's a bunch of white people moving in. And so they're paying really uncomfortable amounts of attention. It's like Dale says, look how he lifts with his legs. It's like...
they're just analyzing their lifting mechanics just right there.
Assuming, oh man, that young teenager is going to be great in the high school football team, and just making assumptions already. And then they walk up and they say, oh, what's going on here? Like, what are you doing in the neighborhood? And then the movers say, oh, this family hired us to move their stuff.
Yeah.
And that's when Khan, Min, and Connie arrive in a blue van, they pop out, and...
My yellow Laotian brother!
Oh, boy. We should probably say this already. So, yes! The depiction in this episode is very toned down compared to what it is in later episodes, but yes, Khan is played by a white guy, Toby Huss.
Oh, really? And I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and there's a lot of... There's an interesting conversation going on about what the right thing is regarding, like, white people playing other ethnicities.
I mean, they do that in South Park all the time. Like, Trey Parker playing Mr. Luke Kim.
Oh, God.
Mongolians, don't break down Machete Wall. That's Trey Parker.
I know it is. there's a bit of a discussion going on about that. But I think it's fair to say that the depiction of Khan in this episode is a bit more relatable. He's not as... Like, he definitely gets crazier in other episodes. There's one episode, I think it's in the one... After the series ended on Fox, there was four episodes that hadn't aired yet. So those aired on Adult Swim, and there was one where Khan is diagnosed to be manic depressive. So
I don't know why I'm laughing, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of a funny episode, but... When they pop out of that blue van, Hank and the guys look so terrified. Dale drops his cigarette.
Yeah, they're like, they kind of have like that look of like shock and perplexion on their faces.
Yeah, and it seems like it's like a little like, at least Hank kind of starts agreeing, okay, maybe they're not, well, they keep switching back of whether they're Chinese or Japanese.
Oh my God.
And
I got a story for you.
Oh God.
It's like pretty much like, well, Hank goes like,
so are you Chinese or Japanese?
I live in California last 20 years, but first come from Laos.
Huh?
Laos. We Laotian.
The ocean? What ocean?
We are Laotian. From Laos, stupid. It's a landlocked country in Southeast Asia. It's between Vietnam and Thailand, okay? Population 4.7 million.
So are you Chinese or Japanese?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I've had plenty of moments like those in my life when people would just try to just guess my ethnicity or just straight up ask me. And you know what? You just kind of have to laugh at it and just say, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm Korean American. Don't like delve too much into it. Just move along, you know?
Yeah,
maybe laugh at it. There is this one story, though, that does stick out.
Okay.
In which I definitely do relate to Khan.
Yeah.
So, it was, like, rewind back to, like, summer of 2012. Like, I was done with my freshman year of college, and this is, like, when I went to school up in Michigan.
Yeah.
And I was actually, like, hanging out with a buddy of mine. We were actually, like, up at his house in northern Michigan. And, just a little context for the demographics up in northern Michigan. It's, like, almost, like, all Caucasian.
Oh,
like,
no.
All white. Like, very little racial diversity.
Oh,
okay.
Fuck.
So, okay. That's pretty much kind of all the context you need for me to tell this part of the story. All
right.
Me, Adam, and a couple mutual friends of ours, like, we were all sleeping over at his place, and we were just, like, walking around, like, the neighborhood, and, like, one of his neighbors just walks up and just chats with Adam, like, harmless chit-chat, you know, shooting the bull, and then he turns to me, and then he stares for a second, and he's got, like, a little frown on his face, and then he just asks straight up, point blank, "So, what are you?" I'm just like, "What do you mean? Like, what am I?"
Hell.
And he just says, "So, are you a Chinese, Japanese, Korean?" just awkwardly just say, "Yeah, I'm Korean." And then he just looks at me. He's like, and he just kind of gives a, like, a little nod. He's like, "Okay, well, I fought in the Korean War back in my day." Kamsahamnida. Like, trying to butcher the, like, he was, like, saying, like, the wrong, like, word in Korean.
Yeah.
Like, my Korean is awful, by the way, but, like, like, what he was saying was, like, "thank you" in Korean.
Oh,
that's Kamsahamnida.
Oh, my God.
So he was just even getting, like, just that, like, completely wrong.
Yeah.
He just butchered it.
Holy shit.
I just look back at that story and it just makes me laugh at this point. But yeah.
And I think what I really appreciate about this is because, like, growing up with, I don't know if it's, like, straight up racism or casual racism, but, like, ignorance. I'll call it, what Peggy
ignorance,
does,
yeah.
What Peggy does, Peggy's Hank's wife. Hers is more ignorant racism, or at least ignorance in general, because she, like, is supposedly knowledgeable about that Chinese,
well,
but her information,
Hank also kind of does make a blunder later on in this episode.
Oh, he continuously mixes up whether they're Chinese or Japanese, and then he says, like, the funny line of, like, there's a dog thing.
The dog thing's kind of a big one.
That
man.
Is, that we'll get to that in a little bit, but, like, him saying, like, to Peggy is, like, "I can't, something what their people did to us in WW2.
Wow.
And it's, like, he keeps switching back, like, are they Chinese or are they Japanese? Like, in the dialogue or in the stereotypes that he's bringing up about Chinese people and Japanese people.
You kind of need to research your history there, man.
No, exactly. But that's funny about Peggy's ignorance is that she is a little bit more informed, but is still from the perspective of thinking that they're not Laotian, but they're Chinese. But they are Laotian. Mm. And so she gives up some... Eventually, Hank invites them to dinner. I have to say the Khan family. I can't say Sufa.
Just call them the S family. Keep
it sorry. The name is really hard to pronounce. I'm sorry. I haven't even. He started drinking the apple ciders. I haven't started drinking yet. Is it a hard name to pronounce? The S family. So Hank invites the S family because he's still insisting, like, you know what? They're different neighbors, but you were an outsider too, Peggy, when you came from Montana. You know, you called Pop Sody Pop.
Oh my God. Just like how they call, like, soda pop back in Michigan.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And we call it soda, like, out here in the West Coast. But in the South, guess what they call all soda?
Oh, what do they call it?
Coke.
Oh, they all call it Coke?
Like, a Sprite could be a Coke. A root beer could be a Coke. A fucking Fanta could be a Coke. It's all Coke, man.
That's really interesting. Well, maybe it's the same in this show, but I haven't really noticed that. But, like, basically the point is that Hank is telling Peggy, we should accept them. You know, they're different. We don't quite understand them, but, you know, they're a neighbor and we should treat them like such. So that's kind of...
Their intentions are good.
That's what's kind of great about Hank as a character, is, like, even though he is conservative and he has this, like... We were kind of talking about this when we were at Ralph's, but just, like, he has some... You put it in a good way, like, a rigid perspective on how things
should be. He's very set in his own ways.
That's it. Exactly. But he's also still a good person, a decent person at least. So he does try to make an effort. He invites them to dinner, and then Peggy shares these really bullshit statistics about the Chinese, and then Constance saying, where did you hear that?
I've never had beef chop suey before.
Really? Oh, you poor dear. You know, I read somewhere that in certain parts of China, meat is as scarce as toilet paper.
Well, where you read that?
Oh, who can remember? You know, as a substitute teacher, I have to review all sorts of learning materials. Maybe it was on a placemat.
And it's like, oh,
where did you hear that?
They try to be like accommodating to them. They say, "Oh, you don't have to. You can take off your shoes." But then Khan's saying, "Why? Are you doing carpeting or something?" It's like it's clearly like
I don't even remember. Wait, so they like? Oh, okay.
Yeah, so many
people would like make that mistake of like just keeping their shoes on. Like if you're in an Asian family's house, like that's very frowned upon.
No, absolutely.
I mean, it goes like all across the board for like all Asian cultures. Like my family definitely does that.
Yeah.
I definitely know, like, other Asian, like, Chinese-American, Japanese-American, like, blank other Asians that definitely do live by that rule. Like, no shit, no shoes in the house.
Yeah, but it's, like, it's funny that this white Caucasian family, white Caucasian's the same thing, white conservative family suddenly has that tradition as well to be accommodating to the Laotian family, but conscious saying, like, what the fuck are you, what are you even doing? Like, why are you doing carpeting? It's like a subtle line. It's like not something you're really focusing on, but it's like they also serve like chop suey, I think. And then
they were like trying to like, they were like trying to like bring in like Chinese food, like takeout whatnot.
I think it's homemade. I think Peggy actually makes chop suey.
Oh, okay.
But it's like they think that it's accommodating if they make chop suey for the Laotian family. So it's like that type of
it's like a subtle ignorance.
Exactly. But things kind of go a little sour when Min, who's a little outspoken, starts to make fun of Peggy's big feet, and she says, "I won't do the accent, but I'm like a little girl in mama shoes."
Yeah, that's
Peggy takes awkward. That very personally.
A little bit.
And then
I mean,
Peggy says, you do not come into a person's house and make fun of their feet. Just don't.
She just gets super self-conscious about that.
I don't blame her at all.
Oh yeah, I would be too. Absolutely.
No, absolutely. But it's like that's the beginning of the conflict with Min, is Min's outspokenness and just like Min is proven to be in the series to be kind of a really not annoying character, but like a bit of a kind of like the rival to Peggy in the same way that Khan's rival to Hank.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's also what's kind of interesting here is like there's also kind of a superiority that Min is trying to have, like not to jump up too far, but it's like figuring out Peggy's apple brown Betty recipe.
Oh yeah, trying to like deconstruct it.
Yeah, but I made it better. It's like,
Peggy should not have given Min those leftovers, man. That was like the big mistake right there.
You know, but I think it's so funny though, because like, again, this is an interesting subtle character trait about Peggy that you don't really think about unless you've been watching the show as long as, I mean, the show was on for like 13 seasons. Yeah. It's possible that even though the apple brown Betty recipe has been in the family for generations, it could just be like a simple fucking apple brown Betty recipe that you just read on the back of a Betty Crocker, and that's probably why Min figured it out so quickly. It might not even be that special.
Maybe. I mean, it kind of reminds me of that, like, one Friends episode. I don't know if it was Friends. It might have been that or, like, some other show when they were, like, trying to figure out, like, the recipe of some cookie. And they, like, analyze it down to, like, the most excruciating little details. Like, how much, like, cinnamon, like, how much, like, flour and how much, like, sugar to put in or things like that. Like, they're, like... being like very detectives about it. That's like more the vibe that I got from Min.
Yeah, it's also like kind of like what I was saying earlier. It's like it's trying to show like a superiority. It's, oh, I'm better than the white people. I can figure out this dumb I can figure out her recipe and make it even better with nutmeg.
Yeah, and Khan actually does the same thing.
Yeah, he has that import mower.
I'm talking more about like the barbecue, like
that's
when,
right. Yeah.
When like Hank is, you know, we all kind of know Hank, like, oh, like I sell propane and propane accessories. So he pretty much like makes it a point to even bring that, sell propane, even like outside of his work life.
Right.
And he just like talks to like people about it.
Yeah,
and,
he's trying
like,
to
try to sell them like on the benefits of propane.
Here you go. I thought you might enjoy 7.5 gallons of pure premium propane.
Are you kidding? No, I cook with mesquite. Give meat nice taste of wood.
And I cook with propane. Gives meat nice taste of meat.
Hank Hill?
Hey, whatever. Some cultures like mesquite, some prefer propane. Doesn't mean we can't all get along. Just because I happen to sell propane and propane accessories.
Okay, all right. Go stick Tank on a table. Keep napkins from blowing away.
Khan, super nusapon.
Ah, okay. You honor me by giving me gas.
We're jumping forward a little bit, but it's worth mentioning that the conflict that happens between Hank and Khan is that they have a little dog, Hank says it's a Chinese fighting terrier dog, which is, again, assuming that they're Chinese. And he has this really condescending thing, like Connie says the dog's name is Doggy, and Hank's saying, well, that's a doggy too. Her name is Ladybird.
Oh,
it's like,
God.
And Ladybird's in heat, and Doggy approaches Ladybird and tries to mount her, and then Hank is really offended and talking about, well, first he's talking to Hank about like wanting to breed Ladybird and gives some like puppies to Khan, like real American dogs, I guess. And then Khan says, "You're Ladybird, she's a real slut," and then Hank is not taking that. It's like Hank is just trying to pull Ladybird away because he's kind of offended by the dog. And then it's like, I don't remember exactly what he says, but he says something really like nasty. And then Khan says, "You know what I think? I think you're narrow-minded redneck." Oh, and
I think you are redneck.
And the great, really subtle line is like such a hypocritical line that says, saying, "Oh, you think just because I'm from Texas, I'm so kind of redneck?" And he says Chinese and their stupid stereotypes.
Oh my God.
And then Khan says his catchphrase, "Get off my property." And then that sets up the conflict between Khan and Hank.
They just butt heads with each other, boom.
But they
boom,
do this like throughout boom. The entire series. But what's interesting in this episode, which I didn't know, I didn't think they would actually talk about, but they do, is that it's also, man, let's, again, this is 1997 when this episode came out.
Yeah.
Peggy repeatedly calls them Oriental.
Oh, Hank, come on. Now, Min and I just made up. We have to go. And if you stay home, people will think you don't like Khan just because he's Oriental.
That is ridiculous. I hate the man because he's rude and nasty, not because of what his people did to us in WW2.
Well, Hank, I know that, but everyone else, they'll say Hank Hill is a racist.
What the hell kind of country is this where I can only hate a man if he's white?
Hank Hill, you will go to that party, you will pretend to like Khan, and you will drink until you actually do.
So then let's we cut back to the barbecue that we mentioned previously.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
That's okay. I mean, we're kind of jumping around a little bit, but you know, we're just figuring this out. This is the first time we've done this together, this kind of thing. So we're at the barbecue, and this is a weird comment I'm going to make, but this is just something I wrote down in my notes. That lava, the effect that they had from the coals burning, it looked really good. Like it didn't look like CG, but it just looked like it had such a weird effect. It was like lava. It was like pulsating. It was just a really good effect by the animators. I just gotta give them props for that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I don't really have too much of a comment
on
that.
I just wanted to mention that.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah. But, so then Min brings out the apple brown Betty, shares with everybody, and there's that comment by that lady who's like a season one character. She appears in this first season, then disappears completely, but just straight up says, "I've always had trouble like eating your brown Betty, but this is pure heaven." And like Peggy's like, of course Peggy's gonna be real.
Yeah, that's gotta be a stab to the
really
chest,
not taking
man.
This. And then later on, because Hank is then he says the great line. It's not a great line, but just I think some lines are not great, but just the way that Mike Judge, who plays Hank, says it just makes it funnier than it really is. It's just like takes like constant
take
a bite shut mouth and open mouth. And puts the burger in Hank's mouth. He eats it and he says, boy, howdy, that is the best, best damn burger I've ever had.
I'll tell you what.
And then Min comes up with the recipe. I give him a recipe. Now you can please him.
Oh my. Yeah, it's kind of like the opposite effect. Like, actually, it seems like the rivalry, like, heats up even further between, like, Min and Peggy.
Yeah.
Even though, ironically, Peggy was the one who told, like, Hank that we all have to show up to, like, their party and be peace with them, you know?
Exactly.
But on the other hand, you got, like, that there's almost, like, a little bit of a sense of respect between, like, Hank and Khan. Like, they kind of have, like, something in common there, like barbecuing meats and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, huh, like, we can maybe, like, trade secrets. Like, maybe we can be buddies after all.
Yeah.
It was, like, that one, like, I guess, like, a little glimmer of hope before, well, should we get to this?
We shall. So,
oh boy.
The guys, because the guys are talking in front of the, they're walking back from the barbecue and they're enjoying that, oh man, those are really delicious burgers. And then they ask Dale, how much did you have? And he said zero. And then they ask why. And then he goes up to a leash. I think it's doggy. I think someone gets let out. And Dale says, I don't eat dog. And so now they're thinking the S's served them dog.
Khan served you dog.
Khan did not serve us dog. That's just an awful stereotype. Chinese people don't really do that.
Well, I don't know. Anyone crazy enough to put nutmeg in Brown Betty, well, they'd be crazy enough to do anything.
Hey, even if they did feed us dog, you know, who are we, huh? Who are we to judge other cultures? You know, maybe they're on to something. They did invent paper, you know.
Yeah, so I think the context for that is that, so Bobby and Connie, while, like, the whole barbecue thing is going on, Bobby and Connie, or Khan Jr., if you want to call her that.
Yeah, that's another interesting one. Some interesting stuff going on with that.
Yeah, just a little bit. We'll get to that later, though.
Okay, okay.
But, yeah, like, they're just kind of goofing off, you know, like, actually, like, being buddies. Like, they're, like, actually, like, the... I would say, like, they're actually the ones, like, kind of, like, really being civil. Like, no, like, racist bullshit or whatever
happening
between them. Like, you know, like, just welcoming all people. Like, they kind of both have that, like, mutual... I guess, dynamic.
Yeah, no, I agree. And there's something really wonderful about the younger generation being the one that's like, oh, we can... We're not even thinking about the cultural differences. We're just like, we're just hanging out with friends.
Yeah, exactly. And they're hanging out with each other's dogs and whatever. And then, like, Bobby, I think, says, like, oh, like, I think it's, like, not right that we're, like, separating them. And then he kind of, like, I think Lady Bird is tied up, so, like, he lets her go.
I think it's Doggy that's, like, that's let go
Doggy
first.
Doggy that's
like,
let's go first.
Yeah. And then and Doggy then... runs off, I think, first runs and then chases a car. And then Connie has to run after Doggy. And then that's why later Dale touches the leash. It's an empty leash and is like, I don't need dog. And now the guys are speculating, did we just eat dog? And then there's the great line.
Oh, Lord, that stereotype, I think, is very backwards, man. The whole, Asians eat dog or whatever. Like, I've never had that said to me ever. Like, I think it's, like, an old, like, very outdated stereotype. But then again, this was, like, made in 97.
97. Well, there was not like, we talked about this series before. Kirby Enthusiasm did have an episode called The Korean Bookie. Where the end
I'm
of the
love this.
The conclusion of the episode is that there's the assumption that they thought that they've served dog, but it's like just like the I think yeah a bit racist there, but like I think the payoff is that there's a bunch of white socialites like Larry's screaming out they fed us dog and then everybody freaks the fuck out. It's actually kind of a marvel to behold, just seeing all these white socialites. Like, panic is, oh, God, we ate dog. Ah, it's like,
yeah, I think I need to watch that show sometime.
I'll show that episode later.
Okay.
But anyway, so they're talking about, like, they look at the recipe that Min gives, and it's like, no, it's just meat. And then Dale says, dog is meat. And then Bill says, while licking his fingers, you said it, friend. And then he says, oh, I was just trying to get that awful taste off my fingers.
Oh, Bill.
So
Billy
now,
boy,
so now they're
boy.
Trying to investigate what's going on. Like, where do the dogs go? And I think later on, Bobby decides to like use Lady Bird because she's a bloodhound to find Doggy.
Oh, that's right.
That
okay.
doesn't go well. So now Lady Bird's also missing. So then the guys,
both of the dogs are missing.
Both of the dogs are missing. So then they assume wrongfully that Khan and Min have taken their dog and are going to use it to feed him or, I don't know, to cook more dog. But, like, the great line from Dale is, like, he takes, like, his two fingers and puts it through Lady Bird's water bowl and tastes it, it's still wet. Maybe there's time!
No shit, Dale. No shit.
God damn. And that's, like, that fucking type of subtle, hilarious lines.
Oh
that,
you my know,
you're
God.
Not, like, where did you come up with this shit? And it's so funny. And it's also that great, again, I'm trying to also, like, bring out, because this is an animated show we're talking about. Right. That great season one type of animated cycle, that awkward animation of them, like, kind of like them running, but it's like the music gets a little bit more tense and a little espionage, a little Metal Gear Solid, and then Dale like gets like hit, like a mosquito bites him and he's like, quick, I've been hit, quick, somebody suck out the poison.
Oh my god.
And then Hank kind of,
Dale, I just, that character, man.
Oh, it's so funny. And Hank is trying to investigate like what's going on, and then Hank sees the meat. There's some stuff we unfortunately kind of skip through, but we're just going at our own pace. Hank sees that Min is like has a new like flat stack of meat and thinks it's Lady Bird.
Yeah.
And then Khan
or
notices
just dog meat in general.
Yeah, and then Khan notices that Hank is outside and he's getting angry. And then Hank, which this scene didn't seem as intimidating or at least as relatable before, because I just know Hank Hill's a character, was just like, this is a thing a Hank would do. But like, imagine a white guy knocking on your door, asking for you to come out, like, forcefully. And then Khan, I think it's meant to be for laughs, is like, get my bat. But like, no, get your bat. This fucking crazy white dude is trying to break into your house, or like, he's being really forceful.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that scene,
I would get my bat, man. Like, let's fucking go, man. You're trying to break into my house.
That scene was way more scary than I originally thought. And then there's, like, a terrifying, like, relatable, not relatable, like, in terms of like, the more, like, antagonistic kind of nature of some people, I guess I won't say exactly who, of, against immigrants, like, Hank saying, like,
oh,
you know,
things
work out differently in your part of the world, but this is my country now. I'm like, oh my god, this is some really nationalist type of shit.
A little
going
bit.
Going on here. And, I mean, I know that you understand Hank's perspective, not you, you and the audience, I mean, understand Hank's perspective, because, like, oh, he thinks that they hate dog, they cook dog. But Khan is just, like, apparently, like, he's saying, please, what have I done to you? Or, like, he says something like that, and then Hank is straight out, I want my Lady Bird, you took my Lady Bird. And then Khan is, like, starting to stand his ground. He's like, I didn't do shit! I didn't do anything! What are you doing here? I'm gonna fucking
break your head.
He was just based
on, like, no evidence at all.
Exactly.
Like, just on a stupid, played out stereotype.
Exactly. And then
that really is not all that true.
No, not at all. And then Bobby and Connie come back and they say everything. And it's kind of funny, like, the contrast between what Hank tells to Bobby and then what Khan tells to Connie.
What? You say, go to your room? Huh. I say, go to your room. You spank?
No, sir. Don't believe in it.
No, me neither. I think it barbaric.
How about bed without dessert?
Never fail.
Huh. Wouldn't figure a child could be motivated by a fortune cookie and an orange slice.
Oh, the cookie may be small, but it contain great wisdom. And orange is sweet and juicy.
You know, Con, we may deny our kids completely different desserts, but they both go to bed hungry. And that's what really matters.
Well, guess we're not so different after all. Boy, howdy.
And they have a little, like, dad-to-dad talk about, like, the different types of, the different types of parenting.
Mm.
But then Hank says about, like,
oh, I definitely know about Khan's style of parenting.
Yeah, but then Hank says the line about, like, about fortune cookies and orange slices. And then Khan does kind of, I don't know, maybe he doesn't realize it or that, but he kind of does say something about the fortune cookie. Kind of saying that in the way that you would expect, like, a Chinese master to say, is like, the cookie may be small, but it contains great wisdom. And orange is sweet and juicy, kind of like, that's kind of playing off the fact, like, I'm not Chinese. It's just like, why do you keep saying I'm Chinese? But then Hank says the great line, you know, we may give our kids a complete different dessert, but they both go to bed hungry, and that's what really matters. And yeah, that's a great kind of relatable line of, like, that we can get together. Maybe we're from different cultures, but we can get together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty clear we're wrapping up, because we are at the end of the episode. So they make up, they give another handshake. Hank doesn't try to break Khan's hand. Even inadvertently, it seems like Hank's handshake is pretty strong.
Oh, yeah. And he works with propane all day.
I mean, I guess he does. He's got to have those strong workman hands. Mm-hmm. And then they're shaking hands, and then Dale comes out again and says, "Give me the antidote, man!" And then it's like the serious music again.
Oh, Dale.
And it cuts to credits. But then there's like an after credits, a Marvel post-credits sequence. Well, inter credits? Because it's like it's with credits.
Right.
Whatever it is, but it's like Min. Peggy sharing recipes with Min. And it ends with a great line of like, Peggy shares some rabbit soup, and then Min says, "Rabbit? You aren't need to eat anything."
Wow.
Again, it's like the hypocritical thing. It's like, you
kind of ironic
eat dog.
There, man.
Exactly. You think we eat dog, we think you eat rabbits. Or you do eat rabbits. And that's kind of disgusting. So that's that great closing of, like, it's not even, I wouldn't even think, like, kind of a centrist kind of perspective on it. It's kind of like showing both sides have their own perspective. There's that other great line from Khan, which I'm going to pull up right now, that I think might be my line of the show.
What's that?
This is my line of the episode. Like the first time that after they meet Hank and Min are talking about it as, like, the neighbors, and then Khan says, I can just go get a bucket of chicken and watch Hee Haw, same thing, like, for the barbecue. It's like he's looking at the invitation and says, "Howdy, howdy, howdy, howdy," with everything, all howdy. And then he says, I can just go get a bucket of chicken and watch Hee Haw, same thing. And again, even they, the outsiders in the community, but, like, I'm sure they're the only Laotian family or even minority family in the white suburban neighborhood, even they have their own stereotypes about the white people.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like meant to kind of depict it in a way that's relatable for both sides. But not even both sides. Make it understandable from both perspectives. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
All right, so what's your final thoughts on this episode?
Man, final thoughts on this episode. Definitely a great introduction as far as, like, the Susanoofusophones go. It definitely wasn't really, like, overbearing with this show, but, like, in this episode, but I definitely did, I guess, notice some differences in terms of, like, how Hank raises Bobby.
Yeah.
Versus, like, how Khan, like, raises Connie, or Khan Jr., which we gotta talk about this.
Yeah, okay, all right, before we end this, we should talk about this.
Like, yeah, I think it just tends, like, some, I guess, Asian cultures, like, tend to be, like, more, like, patriarchal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of, like, feel like they're emphasizing that a little bit. That, and definitely, like, they really, like, hound in, like, I guess, like, oh, like, you need to, like, have, like, a good, like, education and everything.
Right.
And this is pretty much, like, the story of, like, an immigrant family, like, who are coming from Laos, and then they moved out to California.
Yeah, we kicked out of California.
Yeah, and then they're, like, trying to start over again out in Texas. So they're, like, trying to, I guess, like, live this whole, like, American dream, you know? And that's pretty much, like, the whole common goal in terms of, like, just, I guess, like, just immigrants in general, like,
right,
how they are, like, trying to settle into, like, America and, like, make a name for themselves and their families. And then once they get more settled in, and they also feel, like, this big sense of responsibility to instill, I guess, like, that same, like, work hard discipline onto their kids. Like, that's definitely, like, why you see a lot of Asian American families, like, like, piling on extra things, like, math problems onto Asian kids.
Yeah, and
I definitely had to grow up with that, I guess, like, looking back on it, I thought it was, like, just, like, a lot of bull that I had to do, like, freaking like, 100 problems of Kumon each day.
Oh, my God.
Like, there was, like, a point where, like, I actually, like, just straight up lied about doing it for 2 months. I only got away with that for so long.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess, like, if I were to look at it objectively, like, now that I'm older and I sort of, like, look back on it,
yeah,
I could definitely see, like, some reasons why my parents had me do, like, all those math problems and, like, do all that tutoring or whatever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I kind of feel like if they, like, laid off of some of that just a little bit, like, I would have had, like, I guess, more opportunities to have, like, a better social life. I mean,
yeah.
At this point, it's all really speculation, but I guess, like, maybe, like, when I have kids one day, I might, like, try to, like, find that balance between those two.
You know what I mean? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I guess, like, I guess, like, it's kind of, like, about, like, just one generation onto the next. Like, Hank and Khan's generation trying to instill their values onto their kids. Like, I guess, like, Hank's values are, I would say, like, my understanding is, like, very, like, I guess, like, conservative. Like definitely, like, I would say, like, hardworking. But I guess, like,
yeah,
discipline
yeah.
in, like, I guess, another sense. You know, like, standing up for yourself and right. whatnot.
Yeah.
While, I guess, Khan kind of goes about it in, like, I guess, like, more traditional ways that you definitely see, like, in a lot of Asian American cultures.
Yeah, there's a great episode, we're not going to unfortunately talk about this one, deconstructing Henry, when it's a very much about, like, the immigrant experience, and Hank tells, I mean, this is kind of spoiling this episode, but, like, there's a scene when there's some, Khan loses his job, and there's a scene when they're, when him and Hank are talking in the bathroom, and there's, like, a heart-to-heart, and he's saying, it's not supposed to be like this for me. I'm Asian. There's more expected of me. And it's like, I've never really heard like,
yeah.
this type of a discussion outside yeah. of in television before.
It's like the whole model minority. That's exactly what it is. Model minority.
That's perfect.
That's all it is.
Right. Yeah. So I guess my final thoughts on this episode, it's amazing how relatable it is nowadays in terms of I guess what we were talking about before about the immigrant experience, about like an outsider entering a white suburban community. But it's also interesting to see, like, how, like, showing that ignorance, but not being, like, malicious about it, not being, like, overtly, kind of like, there's some cartoon programs that might be, like, more overt about the racism from both sides, but, like, in this case, it's more relatable in that sense. Again, I haven't personally experienced anything like this. Lorenz probably had more perspective on that, but.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
I mean, that's not the only reason you're here.
Wow.
But, like, seeing it from that perspective, especially from the 90s, it's interesting to see how this is still very relevant even today.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely.
And it's still a very funny episode, and that fucking line of Hank saying, are you Chinese or Japanese? I mean, my mom, God bless her, she's called you that multiple times when you've arrived. She keeps forgetting she always forgets you're Korean. God bless her.
I didn't even notice that.
Every time she says, is he Chinese, Japanese? But yeah, that was West Side Story. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Next week, we'll be talking about Season 2, Episode 17's Hank's Dirty Laundry. Lorenz had to step out for a little bit, so he can't say goodbye, but I will say goodbye. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.